Hi, and welcome to an episode of the Northern Affinity Podcast and Teach Me How series. I'm absolutely delighted to say that I'm joined by Tom today. And Tom's going to kind of help me find out more about customer experience, what it is, what we mean, and hopefully how to do it better. So thanks for joining us, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So just really kind of before we go into bit more deep information about customer experience. You know, tell us a little bit about you, your business, and what you do, and then that kind of hopefully frames the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. So, Tom Bell, as you might see on your screen already, I run a customer experience consultancy called AAWE, and our ambition and goal in our business is to help businesses of all shapes and sizes grow through better experiences. So we help shape the agenda for businesses all around customer experience. So we look to diagnose exactly what customers are going through with each business that we work with, and then look to design a better experience, all linked to ultimately business objectives.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. So obviously we've talked about customer experience. You mentioned it there. It might be one of those things, and probably is one of those things we've all got kind of different interpretations of it and different experiences of it, obviously. It'd be good to know in your eyes, you know, what do we mean by customer experience? What is it, and why is it relevant, I guess, for every business?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it's a really logical place to start because I think it can be quite an all-encompassing term. And I think people look at it in very different ways depending on who you are or the kind of business that you're working in. What I would say is to start with, what I don't think it isn't, or what I think it isn't, is really first and foremost, it's not customer support. It's not an NPS survey and the results that you get off the back of that. And it's not purely digital either. What I would say is that it is essentially wherever a brand chooses to interact with a customer. So that can be any number of different interactions or touch points. I often used to say that AAWE designs anything with a logo on, because ultimately, if you've got a logo on it and you're serving that to customers, customers are interacting with it, that is the experience. And I think it's really, really important for brands nowadays because the experience actually forms a huge part of the perception of a brand or perception of a business and the actual success of your business. So, for example, I've worked with an underwear brand in the past, and the people who started that were really passionate about underwear. They had great fit, great fabrics, etc., etc. But then when they started to think about everything that is entailed with that brand and actually giving that product to customers, it started to quickly blow out of control, almost where you've got packaging, you've got website, you've got a logistics partner, you've got your emails, you've got some feedback forms, etc. And that's what I think experience is. It's almost that wrapper around your product or your passion. And I think it's really, really important to get that right, because more often than not, that's the majority of the ways in which customers are interacting with you and your brand.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I think it's important to give that kind of definition and an overview of it, because I have to admit, when we say customer experience, and I'm sure a lot of people are similar to me, the first thing I think about is like the contact center type of environment of where, you know, banks, utility companies, that type of thing, that I don't know why that pops into my head straight away. That's the association I have. I'm hoping that's not too unusual of a thought.
No, I think it's what most people go to. And I think more often than not, it's aligned to where people have negative experiences. Like, no one likes picking up the phone to their bank and they think it can be better. So I think that's where people's head goes. But I think, especially when we're looking at brands today and the way in which customer experience can generate growth for a company, I think it's important to really start opening up exactly what we define experience and just taking advantage of every opportunity. I mean, AAWE is short for always aim with everything. And I think it's our mantra to make sure that brands and businesses nowadays utilize every tool at their disposal. And I think customer experience is a huge part of the way in which businesses can grow.
You kind of touched on that thing in your first response as well, was around, I guess, modern businesses, and I'm sure the whole customer experience world has changed massively over the last few years. I'm like most, I guess COVID probably had an impact as well. It'd be interesting, you know, kind of why is it as relevant or more relevant today than it maybe was 5, 10, 15 or 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think COVID was really, really interesting because there was a rush to digitize and a rush to remove face-to-face interactions, as you could expect. But more often than not, a lot of brands and businesses that I'm working with were actually having closer contact with their customers as a result of that. They were being more and more accessible. So I think that's been a real interesting dynamic shift just in recent years. But often when I think about the general trajectory of customer experience and the way in which it is impacting brands, I'll think back to like the Madman days, a guy called Walter Landor. He set up an advertising agency called Landor and Fitch. And he said that products are built in factories, brands are built in the mind. And I think that's true today as it was then. But the difference is the way in which we perceive a brand in our mind is very different. I mean, when he talked about that, it was in the 1950s. And the way in which you interacted with brands was often on the supermarket shelf. And that was pretty much it. Like maybe a little bit of advertising and a billboard. Nobody had TVs then, maybe a radio advert. Whereas you think about today, there's been a massive explosion of brand interactions. I mean, that's hugely driven by our mobile phones, but also the way in which we interact with ultimately the service we're paying for is through experiences. Like you think about apps, right? Like more often than not, a bank is judged by its app experience, not necessarily the interest rate that you're getting on your savings, because that's never as good as you want it to be anyway. So that's where Monzo, Starling, et cetera, have really been able to accelerate their growth just by being a closer experience brand. So I'd often say that customer experience is a source of sustainable competitive advantage because it helps you drive business growth in a way that's always going to be there. It's a well that's never going to run dry. And I think it's more and more important when you think about brands who are in a category that actually there's not a huge differentiation between their product. You look at, say, Octopus Energy, and you compare them to some of the other utility providers. Actually, you're getting what you pay for. It's gas and electricity. They're probably the same price. There's not a huge amount of difference, especially the way that energy prices have skyrocketed now, but then they've built into their experience moments of delight and actual quality experience. So when you submit your meter reading, you get to roll a wheel to see if you can get a prize, and they've grown far more than their competitors. And even just yesterday I was hearing on the radio, they're actually, the central premise of their advertising is around the customer experience and firsthand verbatim accounts of the way in which they've provided a better experience for their customers.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to use the example of the banking mobile phone app things like, because if I'm thinking about it now, I might use my mobile phone banking app several times a week, you know, fairly regular. I'm sure most people access it for some reason fairly often. But as you quite rightly said, the interest rate, you might think about that, but you might think about it a couple of times a year or something like that. I don't know. It's not a regular occurrence. So it's kind of almost like those things that are touching and you're involved in the customer on almost day-to-day basis. And I guess, you know, you think about kind of taking it to a physical element of things like banks, how much has a branch changed in terms of what they look and feel like now? They are very different to what they were. You know, I worked in banking previously and been out of it, 13 years ago. They look very different now to what they did just back then as well. And that's more about the experience, I guess.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think it's just that they've, especially in the branch experience, just altered the way in which they design it because, yeah, the way in which you choose to interact with a branch is very, very different now because you've got digital services available to you. You're actually looking for something very different when you go into branch than what you did before. And I think a lot of the banks were quite slow to respond to that. But I think more and more you're actually seeing banks almost double as co-working spaces, double as just areas to have a coffee, etc., where they're focusing on the actual experience that they can provide in their location rather than necessarily the pure service or the pure product, I guess you would say, that you might be choosing to access through the bank.
Absolutely. So in terms of customer experience, what as a brand, what are the kind of really, I guess, vital or really important factors, things that we should be thinking about, almost a starting point, I guess. And I appreciate there'll be nuances within every type of business, but I guess there'll also be similarities for everybody as well. So it'd be interesting to kind of where the real important starting points are.
Yeah, and I'd like to keep the world of customer experience quite simple. And what I'd say it always boils down to is understanding the dynamic between a customer's expectation and the reality of the experience that you deliver. I think often brands feel like they need to create this enhanced expectation, really feel like that they're the one-stop shop, or they're going to deliver something far above what customers may even actually want from the experience. And that's often done through the brand as well as their outward communications and advertising. But actually, when you go through the experience yourself, it's very, very different. And you feel like you almost let the side down through the reality of the experience. And I don't think brands realize enough actually what customers see and what customers interact with on a daily basis, because they're too busy around communicating the ideal of that or who they want to be as a brand, rather than actually getting to grips with this is the experience that we're delivering. And I think really, really importantly, that consistency is the key. You need to be able to think about who you're trying to communicate as a brand, and then make sure that that's leveraged in every single customer touch point, because it's no different to people, really. Like, every time you interact with a person, if they feel like they've got a different personality, you're not really going to trust that person. You're not really going to want to hang out with them. You're not going to want to buy anything from them, especially. And I think brands are no different. And so you really need to create that close alignment between the expectation and the reality. And I wouldn't say that the expectation needs to be hugely high either. I mean, some brands are growing massively based upon poor experiences, but they're just, you know what you're getting before you get into purchasing from a brand. So Ryanair, I think you and I could say here and now, that is a very poor experience. And I think everybody says Ryanair is a poor experience, but I had done some work with Ryanair previously, and I listened to the CMO talk, and they'd be like, well, we're short haul. People just want to get to A to B. We're just trying to like do that with as little faff as possible. So they aim to not necessarily deliver a great experience. And they told you about that. It was quite clear from everything that you, every interaction that you had with Ryanair, that it wasn't going to be a great experience. But they get you from A to B better than most other brands. And so we continually go back to Ryanair, and there's that alignment, and you're not trying to be British Airways that are trying to communicate the fact that you're almost being chauffeured to Alicante. No, actually, Ryanair, I know what I'm getting, and I'm happy to sign up for that. And they're in lots of ways out competing based upon a poor experience.
Probably saw me smile when you said Ryanair, because weirdly enough, that was the exact brand that I thought you were about to say when you said that. Which shows, I guess, that they've got it right. They've got, I guess, there's a lot to be said about knowing where you are, understanding who you are as a business, and doing that accordingly. Because, so like you said, Ryanair, they're not going to offer the same experiences if you went on Emirates.
Yeah.
But it's priced accordingly, and it's setting expectations, isn't it? It'd be really interesting to know, and obviously you can name names if you want or not, it's up to you, but we're kind of other good examples of people who maybe do it really, really well, and others who maybe not so much in your experience.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you don't want it to be like a wall of shame almost. But yeah, I think it's just kind of linking back to the banks. I think the challenger banks have really been able to come in and actually give people what they want, which is just easy, understandable access to money and finances. And they've developed an experience, a wrapper around the products that they deliver. I think some of the worst offenders, I think you're seeing more and more are brands who are kind of stuck in the middle a little bit, where they're not really clear who they're trying to be and therefore what the experience should be as a result. So I think you're seeing in the grocery sector, actually the likes of Aldi and Lidl, yes, there's a huge price dynamic around that, but they are delivering experience that's aligned to what customers are expecting when they're going to a cheaper supermarket. Whereas then you've got people like, say, a Sainsbury's, who I think do good product, but actually they don't really know if they're trying to be up there with maybe M&S or down there with the Aldis and the Lidls of the world. And therefore, there's a kind of personality disorder when you're actually then choosing to purchase and interact with Sainsbury's.
That's a really interesting point, because it's something I've had discussions, I guess, similar but in different contexts a number of times on this podcast, is if you're a business who's all about value, you know, generally low cost value is your thing, and then on the opposite end, if you're a business who is about, who's maybe more expensive but it's about luxury or whatever it might be, almost in a lot of ways they're easier to kind of do things right, whether it, like, from your marketing point of view. But would you say that also probably translates to the customer experience as well? You kind of know where you are.
Yeah, sorry, do you mean like luxury is easier or the cheap and cheerful?
Well, I guess either end are the easiest. The ones that's difficult, if you're in the middle somewhere, you kind of neither here nor there. And you could still be, you know, really good business, really successful business, but it's actually trickier to be in that area. You know, I've heard people talk about from a brand point of view or marketing point of view and things like that, how that can be a little bit more tricky.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, it goes back to that expectation and reality, understanding that if you're a luxury brand, you just know you need to smash it out of the park every time, basically, and you can't do enough. So therefore, you're always thinking, what can I do above and beyond what I've just thought about? What can I do above and beyond that, etc.? And I think, again, on the other end of the scale, the cheap and cheerful is actually, how do I strip this right back to deliver actually the value that customers are expecting from me? And then if you're a brand in between that, it's a bit of a balancing act, which can be quite challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that's almost down to, you need to understand your customers, understand what the actual value is, and then compete on that and compete on what they are hoping to get from you, and look at it in that respect rather than necessarily this thing that I'm selling. How do I make it cheap or how do I make it expensive? I think I often talk about, there's a difference between the cost to generate a product and the price that you set and that you're asking customers to pay. And the difference between that in customers' minds is often the experience that they are getting. And so the more and more you can justify that price based upon experience, the better off you'll be.
No, that makes sense. And now I'm going to ask a question, which I'm going to ask it slightly different to what I normally do, actually. You know, if someone's listening or watching this and they thought, right, yeah, I want to improve the customer experience of my business and what we do, normally I ask, what are the few things we can do to start that? I'm going to kind of reverse this a little bit. What are the pitfalls? What are the things that could go wrong? And again, I know there's nuances with everyone, but kind of speaking relatively generally, what are things that can go wrong when you're looking at your customer experience?
Yeah, but it's a good one. I'd probably say there's a couple that come to mind, maybe around pitfalls. I think the first one, and it's a really important one, is not gaining that first-hand knowledge of the experience. I think too often, like I said on the outset, maybe people think about customer experience and think about reviews or what is their NPS survey saying, etc. And what I often say is, although they're helpful indicators, they are indicative of what the vocal minority of your customers are saying, not necessarily the silent majority. I mean, I don't lose sleep at night around the clients that I have from those ones who are telling me what's going on. I'm really worried about people coming to my website and they didn't understand what customer experience is or what I offer, and I never hear about what those customers have to say or potential customers have to say. So I think really getting to grips with, this is the experience my customers are receiving. I know it firsthand, and I get an understanding from my own perspective, but also I'm as close to customers as possible. So I go out and find customers who might be inclined not to fill out a survey, and I get exact understanding of what they might say around their experience. I think that's number one. And then the second one is, I think often brands can and businesses can lose sight of the reason that customers may purchase from you in the first place. And it's often down to they've got a mission or an objective or an aim. And really, you need to understand what that is to be able to design a better experience. So you're not looking to make the website better because you want a great website. You're looking to make a website better because you want to make it easier to purchase from you. And I think of there was a great business consultant. He's wrote a number of different books called Clayton Christensen in the US. And he often would say that people don't buy brands. They hire products that help them complete the job. And so therefore, I think the quality of your experience is really down to the way in which your brand helps customers get that job done. And it's across the entire experience. So you need to think about it from start to finish and not in a siloed nature. So from the point of Googling to actually maybe the first few days of using your product, think of that in its entirety and what you can do to improve that overall experience.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. And I was going to ask a question actually about, I'm going to kind of, I guess, split businesses down into a couple of different areas. Firstly, kind of, I think we all probably understand it from a really big business point of view. We've mentioned banks and other things like that. That's one thing. But also, as a small business, it might just be you or, you know, one or two, three or four people in the business. How important is customer experience? And I guess kind of almost following on from the last question, what are the kind of, at least the starting steps somebody can make to make sure that they're getting the customer experience, right now and in the future, if it is just them or, you know, they don't have a huge budget to throw at it?
Yeah. And I would say that's the beauty around customer experience, and it's a big part of what I'm trying to do with AAWE, is almost democratize growth through experience, because like I say, it's a tool that's available to everyone. And so a small business can very, very easily outcompete a larger business based upon experience, even though they might not have the budget to put behind advertising or research and development, etc. And I mean, I often would say to people, a great business plan is setting up a coffee shop right next to every Starbucks, because they've done the hard graft around understanding footfall. Is there a market for coffee in this street, in this neighborhood, in this city? And all you need to do is basically do a better coffee than them. And that's not difficult. And you can actually look at ways in which you can deliver a better experience than what they're doing. And I'd say, most importantly, a lot of the smaller businesses that I work with, I think around experience, it's, you've got to be yourself. And I think that really aligns back to the expectation versus reality dynamic, but also the fact that you need to be consistent through the way in which you're trying to grow your brand and communicate your brand. And you can only do that by being yourself. Like, every small business is a storyteller. They're always up for taking risks, up for kind of putting themselves out there. And I think the more you can do that with your experience, the better too.
Yeah, and I guess customer experience, one of the, you know, if you do it well, one of the positives from that is around essentially word of mouth, isn't it? And that, and I think for small businesses, that is maybe not more important, but as important, at least, as big businesses, is if you can get enough people cheerleading you and what you do. And I guess probably most people listening or watching this now, if you think of when you've told other people about a product or a service, it's probably because you've had a good customer experience.
Yeah.
Not always, you know, in a product's case anyway, not so much about the product. And probably an example I can think of is maybe a restaurant where, yes, you know, if the food's good, that helps. But it's often more about the whole experience, isn't it? You're going to say how, you know, how quick they were and how nice everyone was and the environment you're in or whatever it might be. Those are things you often are telling other people rather than my pizza was good.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I lived in South Africa for quite a bit of time, and I still haven't found a steak in the UK that's better. So therefore, I don't pick a steak place based upon how good the steak is. It's because of everything that you've just talked about. And that's hugely important for every small business, because ultimately everybody's designing their experiences and their businesses off the same cheat sheet. Almost everybody knows what everybody else is doing. is just around, can you do it better? And then can you do it in a way that's unique to you and consistent to the business you're trying to grow?
Yeah, and I was wondering, one other question I was going to ask about kind of, I guess, segmentation of businesses. Is there anything different or anything to consider when we talk about B2B businesses or B2C businesses? And I guess products and service, you could kind of go into that. Is there any kind of nuances and differences for people to think about?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing more and more, and this is from an advertising perspective as well as an experience perspective, that the two are not to be seen as hugely different, because I think B2B buyers are also B2C buyers. I think if you're a massive B2B company and you're creating barriers for your customers, people are going to be like, well, why is this happening to me? Because my bank or my supermarket or my telecommunications provider are able to make life easy for me. Why aren't you making it easy for me? I mean, the only dynamic that's maybe a little bit different in the B2B is where you're talking about distributors and resellers, because they're very different customer types. So I think it's just, again, understanding who they are, what they want, the expectations that they have around the experience, and then ultimately trying to help them grow their business rather than just provide the product to them. I think more and more B2B brands who are thriving are being a genuine partner, and that can be all delivered through better experiences.
Yeah, and I felt I needed to ask that question because I think a lot of people get bogged down in like the B2B, B2C differences. And at the end of the day, like you're quite right to mention things like resellers is quite a slight different argument, but you know, assuming what you have is being is delivered to the end user, it's still people, isn't it? It's still people. Businesses are not really a thing either. They're just a collection of people or businesses.
So yeah, exactly.
A lot of the theory still stands, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, without a doubt.
Right, Todd, I mean, that's been great. I think it's given me a lot to think about, so hopefully it's given a lot of other people things to think about as well. If someone wants to find out more about the work you do, Tom, and connect with yourself, where's the best places to go, look, and find you?
Yeah, well, go to aawe.uk for our website. You find out a little bit more about what we do, and feel free to get in touch, drop us an email, give us a call, etc. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm just Tom Belt, and you should be able to find me easily because, obviously, like most people, my profile picture hopefully matches the faces on screen now.
Thank you very much, Tom. And what I'll do is I'll put the contact details in the show notes for both the podcast and the YouTube as well for this, so people can go on there. And for whatever reason, I don't know, if you can't find you, you know, come to us at Northern Affinity and I can point you in Tom's direction as well. It's a really fascinating subject, Tom. And I think it's one of those worlds, from my kind of outside perspective, that's probably rapidly changing all the time. So that makes it really, really interesting and intriguing. So, you know, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem. The more it changes, the more it keeps me in the job. And I'm really passionate about experiences. So, yeah, thanks very much for having me. And thanks for all the work you're doing at Northern Affinity. It's been great to be a part of this.
Thank you.